He'll be a blessing this evening as well. If you want to follow along as I read aloud this evening, Romans chapter number 5, looking at verses 3, and we'll read through to down to 6. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And the title of our message this evening, Tribulation Worketh Patience. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, dear Lord, as we come before thee this evening, we just praise you and love you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to open your word together and grow from it. And Lord, as we look at this passage this evening and realize that the trials that you put into our life gives us patience. And we just pray, Lord, that we leave this building changed and knowing your word just that bit more. We pray, Lord, for this entire service that you will be glorified. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking now in verse 3 of our main passage of Romans chapter 5, before we get started in looking at tribulation's work of patience, I believe we should look at in verse 3, we can glory in tribulations. Now, we previously read from Psalms chapter 119 together, where we read that I have been afflicted to learn thy statutes. This afternoon in Tito, we read from Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world in and around persecutions. And this evening, now we're going to focus in that tribulations will work patience in our lives. Turn with me, if you would, please, just a few chapters over. Romans chapter number 8 now. We're going to be looking through verses 17 through to 18, a well-known verse I'm sure we all know. And if you do not, I pray that you'll want to memorize this verse. But here the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 17, going through to 18, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. One of the reasons we can glory in trials and tribulations is because it's just that bit of tiny discomfort, of testing, which is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. We mentioned that this afternoon, that the main reason, once again, we're here is to glorify a holy God. And through that trial, whatever it may be, maybe it's through persecution, maybe it's through, I'm not too sure, but whatever God is doing in your life in this trial, number one, we can glorify him for it, and number two, he'll be glorified because of it. Turn with me now also to Hebrews chapter 12. We will back this point up. And we will realize that God does these trials with purpose. He's not doing it just so we can suffer. No, there's a reason behind it. Hebrews chapter 2 now, looking in verses 11. Hebrews chapter number 2, looking in verses 11. Here the Bible says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. We'll carry on. All of one, for which the cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. I'm looking at the wrong chapter, Hebrews chapter 12. That's probably why I'm not reading the right verse. Sorry about that. Hebrews 12, 11. What I was supposed to be saying was, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised therefore. Now, we've mentioned this afternoon. You may not want to be in this trial. It may not seem fair to you, but the fruit that will be from this trial is what we are seeking and why we can glory in trials. Why? Verse 3 from our main passage of Romans 5, looking now once again at verse 3. For knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Amen. And as we carry on, we'll see that these points intertwine so perfectly together because of the power of God's word. But now if we want to look over just a few books with me, please, Romans 8:25. Romans 8:25. Pastor mentions this a lot, but if you're praying for patience, you're praying for a trial to come into your life. You may be praying for that person that's just going to be hard to work with, whatever it may be. But looking now, Romans 8:25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We may personally not see how God's working through us, and if he is, it may not be obvious. Otherwise, we would not be patient to see him work in and through us. If we knew that Jesus Christ was going to do this in our lives, then why wait for him to do that? Amen. We can realize that this trial is going to give us patience. It's a very short sermon this afternoon. You're all surprised, I know. But turn with me now, if you would, James chapter 1, verse 3. James chapter 1, verse 3. I'm sure we could all do with a bit of patience. Not James. No, he's got the most patience. But trials is one of the ways the Lord can make us patient. Turn with me now. James 1, 3. James chapter 1, looking at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And Romans 12, 12, a verse which we don't need to turn to. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation and continuing instant in prayer. I love this verse because number one, it's telling us we should always be in prayer. But number two, we need to be patient to endure whatever that trial God is putting you through. We may not want it, but God will be glorified in it. And that is why we are here. Knowing the tribulation work of patience and patience experience from verse 4 of our main passage. Experience. Now, these are just a few of the results that we'll look at now, but due to the experience we have gained, we can comfort those in the midst of trials. Amen. Once you've been through a trial and you've glorified God and you said, God got me through that, not my own strength, we can now comfort those who are going through trials. Turn with me, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians 1, and we'll look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 4. Here the Bible says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, promises to comfort us in the midst of trials, we can comfort those in trials as well. And if we were not patient to see God work through that trial in us, we couldn't be patient and therefore give comfort to those who need it as well. And because of that, we've got patience for the next trial. For the Bible says we're going to have trials, amen. We know this because of the Christian life. 2 Corinthians now, we're already there, just a few chapters over, if you would, please. Chapter 4, looking in verses 17. Verses 17 of chapter 4. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For whatever that trial may be, whatever the Lord is doing in your life, it is such a small part of what God is doing in your life. Be joyous in it. We read this afternoon in Matthew chapter 5. Because we can glory in trials, we will get patient. And because we are now patient, we've got experience. And because of that experience, we can comfort those in trials as well. And we're ready for the next trial to come along. And what does that do, Christian? Verse 4 of our main passage, it gives us hope. We serve a God of hope because of that experience that we have gained. Turn over now to John chapter 16, if you would. A common memory verse as well regarding trials. But John chapter 16, we'll look at verse 33 this evening. John 16, looking now in verse 33. Read here with me. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Whatever the trial may be, however intense it may seem, God has overcome the world, and we can understand that we have hope because of that, and we have hope that he will get us through those trials. Look at Job. We've been studying Job over the many weeks. We've only got 4 months to go, so we need to really enjoy what we've been learning. But what we saw from that whole experience, he never rebuked God. He loved him. And because of that, all that experience that he went with, he had hope that God will get him through the entire trial that he went through for his entire life. Carrying on now, Romans chapter 15 now, if you would with me, just one book over, a couple books over, sorry, Romans 15, looking at verses 4 to 5. Here we'll see that because of patience and through patience, we will receive hope. Romans 15, looking at verses 4 through to 5. Here the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another according to Christ Jesus." Praise the Lord, we have the full, written, preserved Word of God to lean upon, our spiritual food to take upon every single day. It was written aforetime for our learning. And because of that, it says, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, which is Jesus Christ, for he is the Word, and now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. This is how we should be walking Christian. We have the comfort of Jesus Christ. We have the comfort of living in us. And now, as we've covered before, we can give that same comfort as well. But looking at this, what I want to look at, might have hope. We can have hope in our God. Why? Because of verse 5 from our main passage. Because the love of God is shared abroad. Jesus Christ showed his love towards us by dying on the cross. I don't know about you personally, but that gives me hope, Christian. We serve a God of hope. Why? Look at Romans 8, a few chapters back. We'll look at verses 35 through 39, verses reminding us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8, 35 through to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. We carry on there, but we'll stop there. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And one of the ways is he shows his love through tribulations. We read from this from the last time I had the opportunity to preach, but Psalms 119 now. We'll look at verses 67 to 68. Psalms 119, we'll look at verses 67 through to 68. Because God brings us closer to his word, which is himself. Amen. We learnt this. Psalm 119, verses 67 through to 68. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. And here we'll see God's love extends to restore us unto him through afflictions, because he loves us and he doeth good. Another verse concerning this is the way of chastening. Throughout, there's many verses I've got listed here, but for time's purposes, we won't go through them. But through all of this, Jesus Christ shows that he will work in our lives through trials. Why? Because he loves us. Why? Because he's a God of hope. Why? Because he wants to make us patient. He wants us to comfort those in trials. Jeremiah 31:3, if you turn your Bibles with me. Jeremiah 31:3. Another few verses we'll just reference, but helpful to note this evening. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. Here the Bible says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Jesus Christ loves you, Christian, and because of that, he uses trials in your life. And our reason tonight to give you patience. And he showed that by giving the Holy Ghost. Verse 5 of our main passage as well. Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God showed his love by sending his Son to Calvary. But if we turn back to our main passage of Romans 5 here, we will see that we may abound in hope. Sorry, Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, looking now in verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We can have hope because of the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, remembering, Christian, throughout trials we have no strength of our own to get ourselves through them, whatever it may be. We talked about it this afternoon that if you're a saved Christian and you're living your testimony, you are the light in the world, that people will separate their company from you. People have seen the light in you and you realize you're without strength. You're not the light. It's Jesus Christ, the light in you. And the same is here this evening. We're without strength. We can do nothing, Christian. We all understand this. And that is why we need trials. That is why we need trials, especially in our point this evening of gaining patience. If we did not have trials, we would not gain patience. John 15:5, if you'll turn with me now. John 15:5. We've touched on this point before, but when we know that we are without strength, we will depend upon God to get us through it. We all nod off by heart, I'm sure, but John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. We can do nothing without Jesus Christ. We cannot get through trials. We need to praise the Lord that he's given us even the breath that we are taking now. But Jesus Christ gives us trials so we will depend upon him, because he gave us the Holy Ghost, because he is a God of hope that we serve, and because trials work patience in our life. Our last point this evening, I know it was short and I apologize, but Christ died for the ungodly. That is why we need patience. Christ died for the ungodly. Christian, so I feel sometimes, though, we are so patient that we just sit in the church pew. Amen. We just sit. We are to be patient. However, that patience is to extend that we should be sharing the gospel as much as we can. Why? Because as we read from our main passage, Christ died for the ungodly. That may be one of the reasons God is putting that trial in your life. So you're reminded, I have a job to do while I'm on this earth. 1 Corinthians 15:3, if you would with me. 1 Corinthians 15:3, we'll look at another verse here. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ died for us, Christian. We need trials in our life to remind us that we need and need to depend upon him, that we need hope, and that because of the trials we will get experience, and because of that experience we will be patient for the next, and that we can glory in tribulations, and that Jesus Christ will be glorified through those tribulations.